Our gospel reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke. This is chapter 19, a very famous passage about Zacchaeus. And I think it serves as a good jump-off point for some consideration about holiness and saints. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. And so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass by that way. Now when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay in your house today." And so he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded or cheated anyone, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The word of the Lord. On the surface, when we read this gospel, most of us see Jesus always as the Son of God, and the one, of course, who is going to make everything right. And in every encounter, Jesus somehow makes God present in such a way that people are healed of their illnesses. They see when they were blind, they walk when they were crippled, etc. And we are used to that image. And here again on the surface, you can see Zacchaeus as a person who is probably on the outside looking in. And Jesus comes along and brings him down to a sense of dignity and goes into his house and all is well. But if we look a little bit more closely, I think there's something much more to this story than meets the eye. First of all, to know historically that a tax collector was a very wealthy person. All tax collectors were Jews, that is, people of the temple. And the Jews, tax collectors, were responsible to make sure that every person in Judaism, every Jew living in the town, in that area, were paying the tax not only to the temple, but also to the Roman occupation. That made them very hated people. This was a rich man who got rich because he was taxing his own friends, his own countrymen, the people with whom he worshipped prior to the Roman occupation. And so, in some translations, it says that he was despised, and that is why he was on the outside of the crowd. Now, being despised is not like being hated. Being hated, you can hate things without knowing what they're about. We hate a lot of things instantaneously because something turns us off, or we have an emotional reaction to somebody or someone, and hate comes up. Despise. To despise someone means you have to have knowledge of that person. Knowledge enough to recognize that person for who he is or who she is, of what their abilities and disabilities are, of what their faith may be. You know a lot more about these people. Hate doesn't cover what despised covers. He was despised by the people who knew him. He was despicable because he was bleeding poor people of the little bit they had in order not only to line his own pockets, but also to give obeisance to the government, which was oppressive, and to the temple, which also was oppressive. Now, this man is sitting there in the tree, probably to escape being beat up by the crowd. But he's up in the tree, and everybody looking up there knows who he is. And Jesus comes along, and maybe he too knows who he is. But Jesus comes along also as a despised person. Because remember, the Jesus of the gospel we read is a very comforting, very God-present Jesus. The Jesus of history was considered to be on the outside of the temple because he was fighting to reform the temple, and he was making no bones about telling the Pharisees what he thought about what was going on. But he also was confronting Rome in its occupation, and so everything he did was seen as treasonous. So he, too, is very much despised because people know him much more than Zacchaeus, and they don't like him. And so you have two very despised people meeting. And what happens in this encounter, I think, says a great deal about being a saint. Two despised people meet. And one of them reaches out to the other and recognizes him not as despised, but as someone about whom he can care. And as a result of that move on Jesus' part, what happens to Zacchaeus? There's a whole complete turnaround of his whole life. In that very simple welcome came a man who had a lot of money and says, 50% of everything I have, I will give to the poor. And all the rest that I have, I will make restitution if I have cheated anyone. Which means he's probably now going to be as destitute as the people he has been taxing. Let us not lose sight of what Jesus' mission was and still is. We too easily take his words and say, this is absolutely what God would like us to do. But the bottom line of all of it, brothers and sisters, it seems to me in the context of what we're talking about today, the bottom line is Jesus came to show one thing. And it didn't have anything to do with our sins. And it didn't have anything to do with redemption. It didn't have anything to do with anything except being people of God. And what he showed was that if indeed we are people of God, then we are always the ones who welcome the ones around us who may not be welcomed. We are the ones who, in the words of Luke's earlier passage, try desperately to be compassionate as our Heavenly Father is compassionate. Now, compassion means I enter into the space of another person and there feel the kind of passion that he or she is experiencing, whether that's a positive or a negative. I share in carrying that passion. That's a very difficult thing to do. And so when Jesus says, be compassionate as God is compassionate, we need always, I do at least, I need to go back always when I am challenged to recognize how many times in my life God has met me wherever I was and wherever I happen to be. And when I am very passionate with my anger or passionate with my despair, or passionate with the challenges that face me, or passionate about anything in my life, God has always been willing to share that passion with me. It's easy to say that God is always with us, but if we know the backdrop of why God is always with us, that God has a passion for all of us. It doesn't matter what we believe. It doesn't matter how strong we are in our faith, how errant we are in our behavior, whatever happens to be going on in our lives, God has a burning, fiery passion for every person. And as Christian people, if we really want to listen to the message of Jesus, beside the miracles and all those things, and all the things the church has said about it that we can do about it, if we really want to hear what he is saying, he entered into the passion of our own dying just to ensure that even there we would find the holy presence of God. Even in our dying, holiness of God is there. And that, brothers and sisters, is what I believe a saint to be. A saint is a person who makes holy and makes very really in that holy state the presence of God for another. So much so that maybe by bringing that presence there, a person's life may change. Maybe not totally radically reversed, as in Zacchaeus' story, but changed perhaps because now there is hope. Changed perhaps because I am not alone. Changed perhaps because somebody heard me and understands. Or maybe just somebody heard me. Changed because maybe for the first time, that person or I feel good about myself. Maybe for the first time, I feel somewhat recognized, not only as important, but in my uniqueness as a part of creation. Being compassionate to each other really doesn't take a whole lot except remembering that somewhere in our lives, when we were in need, when something was burning and passionately eating us up, somebody was there. And whether that person knew it or not, that person made the holiness of God so present that we found the grace, the encouragement, the strength we needed to change, to address whatever needed addressing, to somehow move to a different place where we find ourselves now, perhaps wiser, perhaps with more scars, with lots of experience, but certainly now able to be that for other people. And so today, when we celebrate All Saints, I'd like us all to recognize that every one of us is a saint. The church may never recognize us as saints. God help us if anybody ever makes a statue of me. I will rebel from heaven, hopefully. Every one of us is a saint. Even St. Paul, when he wrote in the story of the Gospels, when he was writing his letters in Ephesians and in 2 Corinthians, he says to the congregation, "You are the saints of God," the ones he was working with and living with. You are the saints of God. And even though he was going on in his letter to talk about all the things that were going wrong in the community, that was their doing, you are still the saints of God. Why? Because you have chosen in your faith to make the presence of God in your life, in everybody's life, real. So let us all find some consolation and comfort knowing that we do indeed have a great, possible, powerful touch in the world around us. And if indeed we are people of God, whatever hope we bring, whatever gift we have to offer, is certainly an assurance that we are not alone, that God is with and loves all of God's people. May it be so for me every day. May it be so for us. Amen.